Hey, our ride's almost here. Are you ready?
Just grabbing my shoes.
That's what you said 10 minutes ago.
I just wrapped a video call, uploading this giant file on my tablet, looking at my watch go bananas with the group chat, and, of course, still lining up tonight's playlist on my phone.
All at once?
Yep, story of my life. That's why I switched to T-Mobile. They have the fastest 5G network.
Okay, multitasker. I see you.
Honestly, I never imagined I could do all this at once. It's awesome.
Say no more. I'm totally switching. My post is taking way too long to upload.
That's a sign. You've got to get T-Mobile.
So many reasons to join T-Mobile. Find yours at T-Mobile.com.
Fastest based on analysis by Ookla speed test intelligence data of national speed score results incorporating 5G download and upload speeds for the first half of 2026.
Nerds. Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Personal finance can feel like a pop quiz you didn't study for. This podcast is your study guide. On NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast, you'll hear from trusted journalists who explain the why behind major financial decisions. You'll get research-backed insights and clear pros and cons, whether you're planning a big purchase or just want to grow your wealth. Make your next financial move with confidence. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast on your favorite podcast app.
When equipment breaks down and operations come to a halt, every single second counts. So why is your maintenance team spending 60% of their time doing anything but turning wrenches? Maintain X is the AI-powered maintenance and asset management system that helps your team get back to actually fixing breakdowns. No more searching for manuals. No more hunting down parts. No more drowning in paperwork. With Maintain X, your team can access manuals from anywhere, create new procedures in minutes, and turn voice notes into clear and complete work order feedback. What used to take hours now only takes minutes. Keep your operations moving and your wrenches turning. Join over 13,000 maintenance teams that are already fixing more and filing less. Try Maintain X for free today. Go to maintainx.com/AI. That's maintain and the letter x.com/AI.
Hey everyone, welcome to a special edition of the Sal Sports and Stuff podcast. In this one, Bills linebacker Lorenzo Alexander breaks down wildcard weekend. The Bills actually played all four teams playing in this weekend's wildcard games in the AFC. Then we talk about the NFC games and we go through the entire playoff picture. He even has what I think might be a surprise pick coming out of one of the conferences for you. We'll talk about Ryan Clark's comments on Antonio Brown, and Lorenzo is someone who's going to be in the media when his career is over. So we'll get his thoughts on that. And speaking of his career being over, is it yet? What about next year? What's going to happen? His future and the future of the CBA. What should we expect when it expires after the 2021 season? Enjoy it, Sal Sports and Stuff, Lorenzo Alexander. All right, Sal Capaccio with Lorenzo Alexander. First of all, Happy New Year, Lorenzo. Congratulations on an amazing season for you personally once again.
Yeah, I appreciate that. You know, it's been a fun ride here the last 3 years, and be able to finish off the way I did is real cool. Obviously, we lost Kyle, but we're looking for big and better things, obviously, next year. Looking forward to be able to come back here and do something special in this city.
And obviously, you say looking forward to bigger things next year. Everybody wants to know what the status of that is. Seems like the team has indicated they'd like to have you back if things work out. It seems like you've indicated you'd like to come back to Buffalo. But where does all that stand in your mind?
You know, a lot of it right now at this point is just preliminary talks and just trying to come to an agreement. I think at this point, as far as me and my wife, you know, I think we're going to end up playing one more year, and definitely wanted to be here in Buffalo and be able to retire here. Obviously, we've become really invested in this city. The community accepted us. Our kids love it here. They love going to school here. They're like, no, we don't want to leave, you know, at the end of the season. So all those things have kind of led for, you know, us to be hopefully be back here next year. So it's kind of a waiting game at this point. And, you know, this is the side that I really don't like, the business side of football, when you have to, you know, talk money. Because at the end of the day, I just want to play football and enjoy it with my teammates.
Yeah, speaking of that, I mean, you do have things on the other side you can get to. You're obviously a guy that's been in the media. You have some stuff set up in the media as you go forward here. So you're going to transition into that point at some time. Right. You know, how like looking forward to that are you, you know, to kind of not necessarily end football, but, you know, to start that chapter of your life?
Yeah, I mean, I think that's one of the things I've always done coming into this league as an undrafted free agent back in 2005. really realizing that, you know, the NFL, it wasn't for long. So I've always dabbled in other things outside of football, whether it was interning at the NFLPA or as a car salesman or taking various different boot camps that the NFL offers in real estate and finances, broadcasting as well. So I've always tried to diversify myself because I knew it wasn't going to last as long. You know, obviously I got blessed to still be able to play in this league 14 going to 15, but it's something that I'm looking forward to. I'm looking forward to kind of playing the background, being there with my kids, coaching their teams, spending a lot more time with my wife, taking some vacations, because it's been a grind the last, you know, 14 years, hopefully 15, just playing in the NFL and all that it entails to be able to stay at the top in a league where they're constantly trying to find a replacement for you.
How old's your youngest child?
He's four. He's four. So
is he starting to understand what you do?
Oh yeah, he knows. He knows what daddy does. He knows all the teams. You know, kind of much like your son does. He's able to recite them. And you know, every time I'm out there, you know, did y'all win, daddy? Or we won, daddy? Or you know, who you want to win? Who's your favorite player? He gets it all. So it's really fun, you know, to be able to play this long, to share those moments. Mm-hmm. Really with all my kids, you know, each one goes to a game, to be able to come on the field after a game, a home game, to come to the locker room, during training camp. Hopefully I'll be able to have my 8-year-old, do training camp with me next year, at least spend the night one time. So those are kind of the blessings of being able to play, such a long career, because then your kids can remember it and take part in it with you.
And we hope that all works out for you. We'd love to have you back in Buffalo. You've been great for this community. Congratulations on being named the you know, Bills nominee, I should say, for Walter Payton Man of the Year. And you know, I know that there are a lot more other awards out there that can come your way as far as community service. And you take pride in that, too. And that's something special to you, you'd like to continue, right?
Yeah, most definitely. Obviously, community service is something that's near my heart. It's really a passion of mine, and really just birthed out of being helped. Out of love growing up from coaches to parents to my uncle. A lot of different people have played a role in me being the man I am today and being so successful. And coming out of the inner city where the resources were slim, the environment wasn't the greatest to raise a family, you know, with gang and drug violence going on, I could have easily been one of the statistics. But because I had that great foundation and that network of people around me, I was able to, you know, go to the University of California, you know, the top university, public university in the country. I was able to have an opportunity to play in the NFL. And not that every kid that I touch is going to do that, but I want to be able to fill the gap and allow them to know that they can be successful, whatever that looks like in their life, you know, being a doctor, being a lawyer, being a teacher, and just being productive in our communities, in our society, and be able to give back. And I'm trying to really build those young men up. And that's why I partner with organizations like the South Park High School. Tim Delaney's doing a great job over there. And as well as the Bell Center, where Miss Lucy is doing a great job with the Buffalo inner city kids and families, of really trying to help fill the gap in many areas that is needed in some of the areas around the city.
I want to talk to you about some of the games coming on, the playoffs. We can talk about a couple of the games that are going on. You've played some of these teams. Before I do that, a couple other questions off to the side. First of all, as far as your role in the media, there's been a lot of talk lately. I've seen this stuff about Ryan Clark. He came out, he really criticized Antonio Brown for, you know, what happened. He told a story about when he was at training camp a few years ago and how Antonio Brown basically knew he was going to get paid. He knew he was. And he basically went to practice that day and he was yelling at coaches saying, "I'm the franchise." And Ryan Clark said, "Hey, you know, started yelling if they got into a big fight." And he said, "You're going to create a monster if you give this guy money." Anyway, he relayed that story on the air. D'Angelo Williams didn't like that he relayed that story on the air. And he said, "Look, man, you were one of us. Why are you talking like that?" What's your feeling on that? And how do you balance that going forward as a member of the media coming up?
Yeah, that's definitely always a hard situation, especially since you've been in the locker room. You know how tight-knit the group is, how we try to keep things in-house. You know, my rule of thumb is just always trying to be as respectful as possible. I think, obviously, in Ryan's situation, I know Ryan fairly well, been around him. I know what type of guy he is. There's history there. So, you know, I don't think him and AB are totally, you know, eye to eye and agree on a lot of things about just how to play this game, what teammate is. And I feel like just the way things have kind of unfolded with that. You know, he felt like AB didn't respect the process, or why should he in this thing, especially trying to give some real light to the situation there and give some I guess, some kind of context. So, you know, it's always a hard situation. You know, I ride with RC just because I know Ryan Clark fairly well. I know he's never trying to be disrespectful, but just trying to bring some real light as far as what the situation is. Because at the end of the day, he's a Steeler through and through. And there are a lot of other teammates in there that have to endure some of the antics of AB. So I think he's trying to stand up for them and letting them know, like, hey, this is the real situation. And you're always going to have people that disagree with how you go about it. But I think he tried to do he said in a very respectful way. It's not like he was dogging him out. He's just saying this is what it was and this is how it is. And this is probably what's going on now.
Well, look, I mean, and the bottom line is you're hired for that job because of your experience. You're hired for that job because people want to hear what goes on and what it really is like in those situations. Yeah. I think he has an obligation to his listeners and his viewers to take us through that door, so to speak.
Right. And that's true to a certain extent. I think there is certain lines and stories and things that you probably shouldn't tell. But I don't feel in this case that he went, you know, out of his way to tell some dirty secret that was just, whoa, that really went down. He did all of that. So there is a line that you should never pass. And I, in my opinion, after kind of hearing it and reading the context of the story, I don't think Ryan Clark passed that line, in my opinion.
All right. So you are heavily involved with the NFLPA. We are in the middle of this CBA, or towards the end of it, I should say, 2021. It is up. I've heard a lot of people say, hey, this time it's going to be a real fight. You know, and guys are smarter. They're more resourceful. They're paying attention more. They're saving their money better. Right. It looks like that Roger and D aren't on the same page, really, and who would expect them to be, right? Right. What should we really be bracing for as fans come 2021?
You know, I always brace for the worst, and that's kind of what we're telling our guys, because the NFL have already taken some steps to emulate some of the guarantees they had last time with the TV deals. Mm-hmm. I think, like you mentioned earlier, guys are smarter because this time around, there are still guys like me in this league that had to endure the lockout, you know, losing your medical health care and not quite sure not what's going on as far as whether or not you can show up and go to work and have a job. And obviously all the countless other people that were affected by that as well within the building. So being able to have first count opinions on it and responses and be able to educate the guys from actually going through it, I think it's key this time going around. I think it's definitely going to help us. Versus last time, I think the last work stoppage was like in 92. And it was kind of like this thing that we knew about but didn't quite know what it felt like. So I know we have several leaders around the league and obviously in our locker room that have really been able to speak to this and let guys know the harsh reality of things that could come. And so at the end of the day, when you have two opposing sides in any contract negotiation, you always got to expect the worst and hope for the best. And, you know, I would brace people and not to feel you want to get stuff done. But at the end of the day, it never happens as smoothly as it should.
When you, let's say you do play one more year, what will happen? Will you still be involved with NFLPA? How will that transition happen? Because I know it's something you're passionate about and you really want to help the guys out with.
Yeah, I'd definitely probably be evolved or involved from a probably like a more of a consultant or ambassador standpoint to where I can probably still come in and educate guys or even show up. We had several former players last time or guys that were transitioning out help in the negotiation process because they had been so heavily involved during their career and they didn't want to lose that wisdom and knowledge base just because they were no longer in the league. So I probably have some attachments. I don't quite know what that'll look like because at that point I probably won't be on the EC any longer. But you know, if D or anybody in the PA comes asking me, you know, to serve in any type of way, I'll definitely step up and do it.
All right. Lorenzo Alexander, join me here. Sal Stuff and Sports Podcast. Let's do it. Let's talk Wild Card Weekend. You got two teams you guys faced this year. Unfortunately, did not beat either the Colts or Texans. Two very different games, though. Obviously, going to Indy, and that thing was kind of over a little bit too quickly. In Houston, you guys came back, then lost the lead late, or at least it was tied up and then lost it late. So let's handicap that one first. That is Saturday at 4:35, Indy at Houston. Tell us a little bit of what are the differences between these two teams?
I think one team is led by their defense in the Texans, and the other team is led by their offense in Andrew Luck. Obviously, you have Deshaun Watson, everything that he brings on that side for the Texans. When we played him, though, he was kind of banged up. And that's really his game, is getting out in space, finding Hopkins, kind of like in that backyard style, Russell Wilson type of football. So if he's healthy and their defense is rolling, I'm going to go with the Texans at home just because of the way their defense is playing. I mean, they're pretty good on defense as far as turning the ball over and finding ways to score when they need to. And at home, it gets loud in there, and they're deadly.
Why were the Colts able to run so successfully against you? It seems like they've really kind of turned it up here. Marlon Mack has had a really nice year. He's taken some people. They have a very underrated, now maybe not anymore, offensive line. It seems like everybody kind of is paying attention to who they are now.
Right, young, they're aggressive, physical guys. You know, obviously mauler types. Marlon Mack, I mean, he kind of jumped out of nowhere. Obviously, he's a young player, and he's really kind of solidified in the league this year. Very explosive, can hit the corner, can run up the middle in between the tackles. I just like the defensive line, that front seven of the Texans, to maybe contain that a little bit more. Mm-hmm. When we played them, they had some runs that we weren't quite ready for, hadn't game planned, didn't adjust well to when they executed. You know, was able to get on the edge on us, and Marlon Mack really just showed how explosive and fast he is being able to get to that corner, and had several big explosion runs. And when you have, you know, a game like that, it opens up everything, because now you're playing what gassed you, and then they come back and hit you with something different. And that's kind of what happened in our game. They kind of just kept us off pace a little bit, because we were just kind of chasing our tail the entire game. And, you know, kudos to them, and obviously Frank Wright being over there, and as far as him as an offensive mind and what he's doing.
What about DeAndre Hopkins? What's the key to really trying to slow him down? I mean, obviously, Trey had a couple of balls go against him in the first quarter against you guys, but then he was really good against DeAndre the rest of the game. The numbers were not very great. They weren't great for DeAndre, but what's the key to a guy like that? He just seems like he can do everything.
You have to take it to him. He's a guy that if you slump off and try to play off, he's just going to abuse it, because he's so big, he's so strong, has a great catch radius, he's going to push off. So you have to match his physical, mental attitude with that same type of aggression. So you have to be able to get up on him, press him, make him uncomfortable, really make Deshaun come off of him because he feels like he has to get out of the pocket. So it's kind of a twofold, because I think we had 6 or 7 sacks that game as well. And I think a lot of that had to do with, you know, Trey on the outside, jamming him up, keeping him off time, and then we did a good job of keeping Hopkins in the pocket and able to sack him and get him down the ground. So I think it's going to take really those two things, and I don't know. Indy, they probably have Leonard that can probably spy Hopkins a little bit and chase him down and keep him in the pocket on third down, which was Watkins.
But Texans, if they're healthy, obviously they're very tough to beat, like you said, at home. That would be your pick there, you'd say. Let's go to the other game that day, that night. I know you seem like you're a very big fan of, or at least respectful of, Russell Wilson. When I talk to you a lot, how much you really enjoy his game, or talking about, you know, how good he is.
Yeah, he's good. I mean, those Super Bowl teams, I think people don't really give him credit for what he was able to do, but he can make something out of nothing. He's not your typical pocket passer. But like I mentioned earlier about Watson, he's just able to get out of the pocket and make throws, different angles, you know, throwing it downfield, finding guys open, and just really turning back yard football. And it really makes it frustrating, you know, because you're just chasing him around all day, and he's making these throws, running out of bounds, off of one leg, going across his body. So, you know, he's really the focal point of that team, you know, ever since he's kind of got paid and had to relinquish or release some of their players on defense and kind of lose those guys. It's kind of become the Russell Wilson show out there in Seattle.
Yeah, and then Dallas, I know you're very familiar with being in the NFC East, but this is a different Dallas team. You have not faced them since they had Dak Prescott. And a couple years ago, they came here, but even Kellen Moore played in that game. But, you know, what do you see from them when you watch the Dallas Cowboys? I know you are familiar with Jason Garrett and the way he coaches, though.
Yeah. I mean, it's all about their offensive line, pounding the guys, and Ezekiel Elliott. I mean, if those guys are rolling, it just opens up everything up. So if the Seattle has any chance, they got to really be able to neutralize that, or get up on them to where they have to get away from Ezekiel a little bit and feel like they need to put the ball in Dak's hands and throw the ball. I think that's when they struggle a little bit, when they got to get away from the play-action game and really be able to just feed the beast back there in Elliott.
Who are you going to pick in that game, Seattle at Dallas on Saturday?
I'm going to go with Seattle. I think Seattle's going to be able to come in there, and you know, and obviously I'm not a Cowboys fan either, so I'm going to go with Seattle on this, and the upset coming in their house and beating them in Arlington.
Yeah, you can't go with the Cowboys if you played for the Redskins and have friends still playing for the Redskins.
Will, and plus my boy Dave Ross loves him, so I'm always betting against him.
I'll go to the other AFC game in a minute. I want to skip over and say Philly at Chicago, a team and the Bears that you guys saw up close and personal. Boy, they really bring it on defense. Mitchell Trubisky and, you know, that offense is now really starting to complement them really well. They overhauled their wide receiver core. But the Eagles are the Super Bowl champions. They get into the playoffs. What do you see here?
Well, I haven't watched the Eagles too much. Obviously, Foles is back in the lineup and is obviously very dynamic. I have a lot of respect for what he's able to do and what he's been able to do this year as well. But just coming in and playing at a high level, and in every game where he had his back against the wall, he's balled out. But Chicago is a different monster right now. I mean, with Khalil Mack and their defense and how they're playing, scoring on defense, creating turnovers. You know, Kyle Fuller, they're just dominant right now. And then you mix in with their offense with Cohen, who's like that X factor yep. on special teams, and they found ways to implement him on the offense. I just think they just have too much on both sides of the ball for the Eagles to go in there on the road and beat the Bears. So I'm going with Chicago on this one.
I may be most interested in the early Sunday game. That is Chargers at Ravens, the two teams you guys opened with. Of course, it didn't go very well. That second half of the Chargers game, you guys started to find your way on defense, and we saw what you did the rest of the year. But you went into Baltimore. That game wasn't very competitive. The first half of the Chargers game, same thing. Yeah. What do you see from these two teams?
This is going to be probably the best game of the weekend, right there with the Colts-Texans game, I think. The Ravens are such a different team now, too, with Lamar Jackson playing. He offers, obviously, a different element to the game with that, you know, zone read, RPO-style offense, his athleticism, something that they weren't able to bring to the table with Flacco. And they already beat the Chargers, too. So that's another element that you got to bring. It's always hard to beat the same team twice. So it's definitely going to be a chippy game. I really like the story of the Chargers. Obviously, we have our boy Anthony Lynn out there. I also have a couple of Cal Bears on that team that's doing really well. This is a toss-up, but I'm going to rock it with the Ravens just because the Chargers have to go way out East Coast on the road. And I really like what Widow, for some reason, has good game plan and understanding of what Phillip Rivers like to do. Obviously, he played with him for a long time. So I'm going to go with a Ravens defense kind of stifling the offense of the Chargers, and then they won't have an answer for Lamar Jackson. So I'm going to go with the Ravens.
I'm a big John Harbaugh fan. I think he does a really good job with that team. You know, year in, year out, I think he's one of the better coaches. But, boy, I'd love to see Phillip Rivers get one before he's over, Lorenzo. I just think he's one of the greatest, right?
Yeah, I mean, he's probably the greatest underrated quarterback ever just because he hasn't won one. Phillip's a great guy, great dude, great competitor. So it'd be great to see somebody like that win one, you know, one for the old guys that haven't been or haven't had a chance to compete for a championship. But it's going to be all a uphill battle, in my opinion, you know, going into the Ravens hometown on when they play
Sunday afternoon. Yeah. And if they do win, the Ravens, they will go to the Kansas City Chiefs. That's a rematch from a few weeks ago. The Chiefs beat them in a close game. But no, I mean, the Ravens can absolutely go to Kansas City and win, right? That would be an interesting game.
Yeah, I mean, they have some veterans on that team. Obviously, they have a dynamic in Lamar Jackson, who's going to be hard to game plan for. And I like the Ravens in the playoffs, especially now. I mean, they're tested, tried, and true. They have the history of being in there. And I'm not completely sold on the Kansas City's defense, you know. Right. So we'll see what happens. If they can't put up the points they need to, and all these teams, you know, even like the Rams, you know, all the teams that have been, like, high-powered all year, when it gets cold and the ball is not flying as well and guys are sore and banged up and the speed on the outside isn't the same, I always like the more physical team, the team that's been tested and tried throughout a season, because they know how to grit and grind when things get close. So it's going to be interesting once you get to the second round when you face these higher-powered offenses, if the weather's not nice and guys aren't feeling, you know, 100%, right, which nobody is this time of year.
And then if that happened, you'd also get the Texans at the Patriots. Could they finally have enough? They've had some battles over the last few years.
Man, I don't know, man. They just figure out how to turn it on at the right time, don't they? In the Patriots single year, I say it, you know. But I feel because Gronk has not been as dynamic this year, I think if the Texans are able to get past the Colts, they're just going to rough him up. And if they're able to do that, keep the timing off, they will have a chance to – you know, pick off Brady because he hasn't been playing at the level that we're accustomed to seeing. And if they can score at least once on defense, I think they can figure out a way to go up there and beat the Patriots.
NFC, if it holds true what you say, you'd get the Seahawks at the Saints, which would be super interesting next weekend. What would you see from that matchup?
Saints, baby. Yeah. I mean, I'm still scarred. I still feel that butt whooping from last year, man.
That's right.
Lamar, Ingram, and Breeze. And I mean, their defense is nasty, too. My boy Cam Jordan out there coming off the edge. They're just a very a good, complete team. And they can ground and pound. They can go, you know, make it sexy and throw bombs on you. And their defense is pretty stout. They get after it. So I would rock it with probably the Saints beating Seattle.
I'm going to make this statement. You tell me if you think this is right or not. I would say if I'm in the NFC, I'd rather play the Rams than the Bears. I think the Bears scare me what they can do on defense more than what the Rams can do on offense.
Yeah, and the Rams' defense is suspect. I mean, right. Outside, they're not healthy. Obviously, Marcus Peters hasn't played as well as he has in the past. And linebacker core is not there. Like I said, if you get into a matchup where you have to grind it out, I just don't believe in those guys standing up and having to make a play when the game is on the line as far as the Rams defense at this part of the career, at this part of the season. So
yeah, and if the
Cylinders Bears and Jared has had some struggles right now as far as that quarterback.
Yeah, and if that does happen, if the Bears do go to the Rams, it'd be like a home game for the Bears, because in L.A., in that stadium, all those transplant people from Illinois and Chicago, those Bears fans, you're not even getting a home field advantage in that situation.
Yeah, no, not at all. I mean, the Rams are obviously still new to L.A. and really trying to grip all the fans and energize them. Obviously, L.A. is a very event-style town. But like you said, a lot of people in the cities kind of relocate there, and I know they're going to show up and be all in for the Bears.
All right, so if I'm reading you right, it sounds like you're leaning towards the Saints maybe to come out of the NFC overall. And who in the AFC is it? The Ravens maybe?
Yeah, let me see. Yeah, who would the Ravens play? Kansas City? And then they would have to play
the winner of the Texans-Patriots.
Texans would be a great matchup.
I know, right?
Man, that would be hard. I don't know. I mean, the AFC to me is a toss-up. Because I think the Texans can possibly beat the Patriots. I'm a rock with the Texans. They've been on a roll ever since they beat us. I mean, they've been rolling through. So I'm going to go with the Texans out of the AFC.
All right, and then the Saints out of the NFC, I think, right?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
All right, that's cool. All right, so now Kyle has Kyle's going to wind up going to the Pro Bowl here. Have you heard anything about yourself and, you know, any Pro Bowl possibilities, anything like that coming up for you?
I'm not even an alternate, man. I'm so far down that list. It had an exodus like they had several years ago for me to get a call, but I'm going to definitely go down there and support my boy. I also have another former teammate I'm really close with, Kedrick Ghostin, whose son is playing in the flag tournament that's part of Pro Bowl week. And so I'll be down there hanging out, getting some sun and enjoying the festivities. Hopefully I'll be able to find Kyle and maybe interview him and give him a hard time for leaving me behind. But, you know, it's all good. So I look forward to going down there and kind of hanging out.
And what are you going to do? What's your downtime look like here over the next, you know, couple months before you maybe start getting back involved with contract negotiations? And we know what's going to happen with your football playing career. What do you do personally over the next couple months?
Just a lot of time hanging with the family, doing some traveling. As far as working out, I normally take a week off and then I start up doing studies and cycling, Peloton type things, just to kind of get the juice going. But we have a lot of trips, you know, going to L.A. For a PA leadership conference, going to Pro Bowl, mentioned, going out to Arizona, going to check to Jared Jackson, a car show out in Arizona with my sons and my dad and my brother. So I got some fun things kind of on the horizon to kind of break up the time being here in Buffalo for so long and kind of get some warm weather and really enjoy it.
All right, Lorenzo, thanks. I really appreciate it. Always appreciate everything you do for us. And I hope we have another year to spend together. If not, I know where to find you, but hopefully we can do that.
All right, Sal. I appreciate you, brother, always.
Hey, our ride's almost here. Are you ready?
Just grabbing my shoes.
That's what you said 10 minutes ago.
I just wrapped a video call, uploading this giant file on my tablet, looking at my watch go bananas with the group chat, and, of course, still lining up tonight's playlist on my phone.
All at once?
Yep, story of my life. That's why I switched to T-Mobile. They have the fastest 5G network.
Okay, multitasker. I see you.
Honestly, I never imagined I could do all this at once. It's awesome.
Say no more. I'm totally switching. My post is taking way too long to upload.
That's a sign. You've got to get T-Mobile.
So many reasons to join T-Mobile. Find yours at T-Mobile.com.
Fastest based on analysis by Ookla speed test intelligence data of national speed score results incorporating 5G download and upload speeds for the first half of 2026.
Girl, let's get real. Some pads are just diapers with a good PR team, but not the new Kotex BioCare. That's because Kotex BioCare helps defend against odor and irritants. And it's the first and only pad with this pH proactive system that helps optimize the pad's pH. Just think of it as self-care for down there. Check out Kotex.com for more details on the all-new Kotex, completely redesigned to meet your needs. You asked, we heard.
Nerds. Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Ever Google a money question and end up 12 tabs deep with 12 different answers? This podcast is your shortcut back to clarity. NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast breaks down financial decisions with a team of trusted journalists. They explain the why behind decisions like investing, home buying, and choosing credit cards with clear, research-backed insights. No jargon, no misinformation. Make your next financial move with confidence. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast on your favorite podcast app.
Your line just went down. Production stopped. A supervisor wants answers. And someone's digging through a binder for the maintenance history. Every one of those minutes costs money. And most of the time, that breakdown could have been prevented. That's where MaintainX comes in. MaintainX catches the failure before it happens. Preventative maintenance plans on every key asset to improve reliability. Work orders assigned and tracked right from your phone. Everyone from the floor to the front office is in the loop. Companies on MaintainX have cut unplanned downtime by over 30% and saved thousands on parts and labor every year. See what MaintainX can do for your operation. Try MaintainX free at MaintainX.com. An Autodesk company.
What if the thing you're listening to right now never got interrupted? What if it could play uninterrupted from room to room on Sonos? What if you start with two Sonos speakers just to see how it feels? What if you really like how it feels and you become a Sonos person who can't stop saying to their friends, "What if you start with two Sonos speakers just to see how it feels?" Because it's not magic, but it's not not magic.